We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
I watched the end of the Nuggets-Bucks. There was a game winner in that one for three. It was kind of exciting. It was 89-87, and then Bouye hit the three to walk it off. That was fun. So I watched so you don't have to. The Spurs are just destruction. 41-point win in Summer League is kind of nuts.
Yeah, absolute destruction.
Especially when everybody's trying really hard, you know? Mm-hmm. Like these guys are like these two-way and Julie guys. This is like their only opportunity these 10 days. So you rarely see blowouts like that. Anyway. It's a pretty fun slate tonight. We'll get into it. Grizz obviously play at 3 o'clock. They're the first game of the day. Lots more to come here on the show. Stick around. Jason and John, 99.9 FM, ESPN. Blacktown Movement has changed the mood in the city of Memphis. And what makes them so great? Very simple. They show up when they say they're going to show up. They stay on the budget that you guys agree on. And you're going to like the deal you get from Blacktown Movement. They are pros. You're not going to have to worry about, hey, where are these guys? Like, what's the deal? They are awesome. I've used them twice, and if I ever move again, I'll use them a third time. Happy to. But you got to get on the schedule. They're busy. It's summer. 316-6196 is the phone number. Call them. Let them know you heard about them on the Jason and John show. Get you a good deal. Blacktown Moving. Change the move to the city of Memphis. Call today. Every day around this time, we do the rundown. Let's go. All right. Summer League. Summer League action continues. Today, starting at 3 o'clock with the Memphis Grizzlies taking on the Boston Celtics on ESPN Plus / NBA TV. Grizzlies are a 4.5-point favorite. The total is the high of the day, Jason, 187.5. A lot of points expected in this one. I guess because it's just the way the Grizz play, right? Like, I mean, that game against the Jazz was an NBA total. What, 225? Mm. I mean, damn. Them folks do not slow down at all. I've talked to some people who believe that the Grizz are a good play in this one. I have nothing on this game. Because I worry, like I said, about Kenneth Lofton. I do. Like, I feel like he is going to be very motivated in this game. Now, he may not play. I don't know. You know, maybe one of those deals where they're just going to get the young guys run. They have a couple of Walsh, and they drafted a guy, Hugo Gonzalez, in the first round, who's an international. So they may want to just give the young guys as much run as possible. But, I'll definitely, have it on and see what's going on. I expect the Grizz to be full strength again, right? I mean, Wells, GG, Cam at this point, they play games, got games under their belt. So that's at 3 o'clock. The rest of the day, like in terms of big-time draft picks, Con Knipple with the Charlotte Hornets is going to get his first game action against the Utah Jazz, who are sitting Bryce Sensabaugh. They say, thanks, but no thanks, Bryce. We don't need your 37 points anymore in Summer League. And that's where my bet is today. The Charlotte Hornets, plus 6.5.
Okay.
And I'll give you a real quick, and it's not 6.5 anymore, so I would say that first and foremost. It's 5.5. I would still play 5.5. That's fine. You have Con Knipple. You have Saloon from a year ago. Remember?
That's who they took. We should have got up there and
made the play
for my guy in Portland.
Klingon. That's right. So Saloon is still playing. Mm-hmm. Second year guy. He played a lot for the Hornets last year. I like that, right? Those second year guys that were on main rosters. Kalkbrenner, 7-1 big from Creighton.
Yep, know him well.
I think in this format, he could be very effective. Liam McNeely, first round pick from UConn. Right, so you got a lot of. I know Utah is priced as the favorite in this thing, but should they be without Sensabaugh, who gave them like unbelievable 3-point shooting? You know, like I think that's kind of where I come down. Like I just think the Hornets have enough talent to stay with them in this one. They're not in Utah anymore. It's not a home court advantage. So I think the Hornets with their talent, can certainly keep this one very close and very interesting. Plus, underdogs have just been very live in these things. So I like the Hornets today, plus 6.5. It's 5.5 now. I think that's still fine. But that's a top 10 pick you can check out in Con Knipple. Let's see, in terms of first rounders, that's really about it today. The Wizards have some young guys like Bub Carrington, Keyshawn George from a year ago. So it's our from a year ago, but no rookies this year. Clips Rockets, 9 o'clock tonight. That'll be high-level basketball because you're talking about Reed Shepard for the Rockets, Kobe Brown for the Clips. It'll be pretty good. And then Blazers Warriors. You could see your man, Hansen Yang.
Oh, not my man. Your man.
He got a PS5. Like, Sony gave him a PS5 because all he said in the press conference, all he does was eat, sleep, and play video games. And Sony heard it, and they got a PS5.
Isn't the 6 coming out soon?
I don't think it's coming out soon enough. You know, I think they're still going to be making...
5 is, again, that's like nothing. Yeah, that's...
Right, right.
Basically just like giving them a thank you.
Right.
A 5, as old as they are.
Yeah, PS5 came out in what, 2020?
Yeah, that's COVID times.
Yeah, COVID times. Yeah, I remember because I got it delivered.
And that's the part was killing the prices, man. The prices crazy. Couldn't get any of them.
Well, PS6 going to be $700. Easy.
Yeah, but remember, no. I'm talking about initially, though, the prices for the PS5 were over, you know, $1,200, $2,000.
Oh, that's right.
The inventory was
so low. If you
didn't
pre-order,
I don't know what, and I paid one of those kinds of prices for it. Remember before they...
Yeah.
Before we could get them.
Where did you
get
yours? I can't
remember if it was processors or what, but it took forever.
Yeah.
I think I ended up buying mine off Amazon.
On Amazon, yeah.
But the prices were crazy at first.
And it feels like you had, I vaguely remember.
The market was crazy during COVID. You get one of these things, you had to overpay.
So that was back before I had kids. So I was like very much aware of when the pre-order started.
Yeah, you got yours early.
That's what I had to do. I pre-ordered it from Target or something and they delivered it. You know, if you didn't pre-order it though, like you were definitely asked out because there was a shortage in you know, production and.
There was a shortage. I think it was that. That chip.
Yep, that's exactly what it was.
Had everything behind, and so there were none of them, and you had to pay a premium for them.
And then, I want to say that lasted for a while.
It did.
Yeah.
It was like 6 months to a year, it felt
like. Yeah.
I was over here complaining on this side of the table, talking you were talking me off the ledge. We were trying to get one for CJ.
Right, right. Well, Hansen Yang got one.
Good for him.
I don't know.
Free,
if
it, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. They're nothing now. They're like $5 to Sony.
Right. I don't know if it's custom,
six.
You know, for him, like if it's a Chinese edition.
There have got to be 6 prototypes already out here. I think there are. I thought I've read about those.
Yeah, you mean like for the next edition?
Yes, yes, the PS6.
Oh, yeah, they're going to.
That's what they should have gave them.
They're definitely going to do it. Like some leaks are coming out now about the PS6. Yeah. It'll be here before you know it.
That's a 5 is like nothing. Giving them that.
I mean, isn't it amazing?
The least they
though,
could do.
You're not even getting 5 years out of the current generation console now. Because it won't be 5 years until October for the PS5. And we're already on to the 6.
Not yet. You say already. It ain't coming out tomorrow. I've gotten some pretty good run out of this.
Yeah,
I feel good about this generation lasting.
2029.
Okay.
That's the leak.
So we got a ways to go.
Yeah. It'll
be
announced.
This is going to get me almost 10 years.
Yeah.
This PS5.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
2020,
that you didn't change it.
2028.
That I didn't have to buy a new system. You didn't make Apple changing up all the freaking.
That's right. Technology. Yeah, that's
technology
terrible.
On you every year. So
that's
you gotta buy it. It's terrible.
Yes.
Sucks.
That's why I'm still on the old joint, bro.
I got like a 14.
Yeah.
I'm old.
I'm still on the,
Yeah.
I don't even know what.
Me too.
Do.
My wife's are all different. And so is the iPads now. They're all different. You can't even. None of us match up anymore.
I know. Because, like, when I go to my friend's house and you got a charger, they're like, which one you got?
Exactly.
I mean, damn, man. Like, why you got to make it so damn complicated these days? But, yeah, that's the Summer League report for July 11th. Are any interest beyond Grizz Celtics?
No, not for me. You watch, so I don't have to.
That's exactly right. I'm
You're
happy to
let
do
me
it.
Know if Kenneth Lofton plays. I'm saying I think there's numbers on him. It looks like aren't they expecting him to go tonight?
I think he's there to play. Yeah.
Yeah, he's there to play. Okay, you said they might not play him because they want to see those young guys.
Yeah.
That dude, he is chomping at the bit to get out there. He has asked the organization, "Can I go?"
Yeah.
At 3:00.
Absolutely.
1:00 Las Vegas time.
Yeah.
Against that team.
Yeah.
Which one are we in, Cox or Mac?
I'm glad you asked because I have the answer for you. You will be in the Cox.
Good.
That's the lame one.
Yep.
That's where they
not
put
the Thomas and Mac.
Yeah.
Where Cooper was last night.
That's right.
That's where the feature games go.
But are these connected though? Are these buildings
connected? The buildings you can walk back and forth. Brad would know that.
They are connected. Okay. So it's not like you have to go to a different
part
of Vegas.
No, that's what's
awesome
about it. You can just go back.
Is it are they both UNLV?
All of it's connected. It's all UNLV and the practice facility is connected. There are 3 facilities in one.
I didn't realize it was 3. I just thought it was 2.
Mendenhall, practice facility, Cox Pavilion.
Now I heard somebody, might have been Greenberg, saying that if he was Josh Pastner, Josh Pastner got a shout out on one of these broadcasts.
He did
last night
before the game.
He was like, I would superimpose UNLV shirts on all these fans.
He's doing some of that in the background.
This is
good for him.
I'm sure on some level. I mean, look, UNLV basketball can be a thing again.
Yes, it can.
I believe that.
Can it?
I think so, because Vegas is the hot thing. I mean, you're going to get an NBA team at some point. You're going to get a Major League Baseball team at some point. Like, why can't UNLV basketball be a relevant program again?
For all those reasons. Because you have too much going on.
Yeah.
You have to be making Final Fours. It's just like Kelvin Sampson at Houston. Before he gets there and turns that into the national title contender, nobody gave a hot damn about the Cougars. You're on the back page of the paper.
That's fair. Yeah.
So he's got to be supernova.
Yeah.
You know, in a town that's going to have everything.
Yeah. I mean, I was talking to him a couple weeks ago about his team. Like, he's got some interesting pieces. He got the guard from Illinois, Dre Gibbs, Lawhorn.
I remember him.
Who was pretty good for them, for what he did at that level, you know?
What kind of money's he got? That's what I want to know. I mean, y'all talk about that, because that's the key to it, right? I'm sure he's told you whether or not he's got a budget he feels like he can compete with or not.
Let's see.
That's the key.
Where does he come in on Torvik? So literally, this is funny. Memphis and UNLV are 73-74 at Torvik.
Man, that's...
Same type program.
That's no place you want to be, unfortunately.
Memphis dropped a spot. Right, Memphis was 72
on this day.
They dropped a spot. I wonder why. And so did South Florida. South Florida 63. You're 73.
Maybe we got a bad word on Majuk. I mean, he's not texting back or something.
Bro, he's lost in customs. All right.
It's gonna be hard, like with the visa stuff.
Yeah.
He's gonna be in that Crocodile Island or whatever.
Oh no, let's hope not. But see, he's from South Sudan.
Which is where we're now sending.
There's a brother on the staff from South Sudan. I believe he is here for this dude.
Oh, really?
And so I don't think, you know, I'm connecting dots. I don't know that for certain.
Right.
But there's a brother. They were introduced. He's from South Sudan.
Yeah.
I think my guess is that's, you know, going to be the guy when Majuk gets here. Or he's the connection.
Yeah.
So hopefully this is still happening, because the dude looks like he's got a body that would at least stand up in the AAC.
Yeah. I mean, my hopes are
like 3 years
limited.
Professional.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, 3 years of professional basketball? How bad?
Well, you know,
I mean, for it to be
Serbian
professional, doesn't have to be.
C-League professional, bro.
I don't know. What is the AAC? Serbian Z-League.
He can't. Do you think he was getting paid over there, like professionally? Do you think he was getting paid to play?
He had to be getting some sort of
like
check.
$200 every 2 weeks. Like the Memphis, like the ABA here. Again,
if it wasn't worth, if the Winky guy couldn't catch a basketball, then there'd be no need to.
You know,
do
Big
this.
Winky,
Big Wink here in Memphis.
Did I add him? Did I add the Y? It's not Winky. It's Big Wink. You're right.
I don't know if we're talking about the same person.
I think we are, because doesn't he do like he did like ABA stuff or has done ABA stuff? Yeah. That's who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Apologies for the Winky.
I'm a grown man.
Right. But is it? It's not.
I think it might be. Winky. It might be Winky. I call him Big Wink. It's in my phone. Is that
okay?
Yeah, I'm not doing the Winky thing.
You're not gonna say the Y. No. I like it. Yeah, but you like Big Winky. I think probably paying $200 every 2 weeks, right? For the Memphis. What was it? Like the Memphis Flame or something?
That team that we had. It was owned by the young lady, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Benson Askew was in and out.
Remember yeah, that? Yeah.
That was wild. Those were wild times.
They were. We don't do that anymore. I want to say one of my friends like tried to try out for that team.
Really?
Like yeah. Like, and he was like a completely unserious player. He was like a rec league guy, bro. Like, he was not a professional whatsoever. I think he made the team because he had a little bit of size, but he was. But I don't. Again, he never got paid. I don't think. I don't think he was.
That's unfortunate.
He might have been a practice squad guy.
I think semi-pro is what we call that.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's probably what Simon Majuk did.
Okay.
You know, semi-pro.
Yeah, maybe my expectation is too high for Simon.
Yeah, I just want to get him here. That's the thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's just get him across the border. That's not a guarantee anymore. But you're gonna get some of that today. You're gonna get some semi-pro Serbian basketball league C level basketball today in summer league. Some games better than others. I do expect Grizz Celtics to be pretty good. I would just say that on the front end. I expect Hornets and Jazz to be pretty good. As for the rest of it, you know, your Bulls playing the Raptors, I don't know. You guys got a lot of...
Two organizations going nowhere.
Slop in there. So anyway, that's today's slate in Summer League.
Taylor Serrano 3 is tonight. And maybe you don't like women's boxing, but it's getting bigger. And in fact, they're coming off the largest purse in women's boxing history for their 2024 bout. We discussed this yesterday. Again, it's tonight on Netflix at 7 o'clock. Netflix doing another big sporting event. 2024, they were on the undercard of Jake Paul and Tyson. Remember that well, because again, we talked about it yesterday. Netflix is really like a run-through for them in terms of sporting events, because they were going to have the NFL games on come Christmas, and so they needed to make sure that stream was right.
Yep.
And barely early on, and a lot during this women's fight, that it was going in and out. And maybe that got a little bit better during Paul and Tyson, but it ended up being one of the fights of the year, frankly. And this was the second time they had fought, and it ended up being the largest purse in women's boxing history. In that one, Katie Taylor, your winner, got in excess of $6 million.
Wow.
This one, both fighters are expected to get in excess of $9 million. That's how legit this is. Madison Square Garden is going to be packed tonight. It's an all-female, all-woman card, all the way up, all the way down. Katie Taylor, last I looked, is plus 160. Amanda Serrano's minus 200 to win. Now, Serrano's 0-2. Against Katie Taylor. These have been absolute battles. And that last one, Serrano got her eye cut by a headbutt. And eventually Katie Taylor had a point taken away for a headbutt. That said, folks have said, have questioned whether or not it was intentional on the part of Katie Taylor. Serrano's camp certainly thought so in his sets as much. It's the way those two fight and their styles, and frankly, it sort of lends itself to it. There's probably going to be some more head bumping tonight. You just hope that it doesn't affect either fighter in terms of, you know, blood coming from a cut, that this thing could go on and be the fight that it's intended to be. That one went the distance. Crazily, Serrano lasted through. First off, the doctor had to let her go through, which was a question in itself whether it should be allowed. But they did. The thing was bloody. You don't like blood. You don't want to watch tonight. But, John, I thought it was interesting, too. You're talking about Summer League and opportunities from a betting standpoint. Some people are saying, you know, with this, here's what one of the ESPN experts says. I'm on the Serrano side going into this fight, but if the price tag of minus 175 is a bit high for your liking, take her to win by decision at minus 110. As powerful as Serrano is, and even with her ability to hurt opponents, she's facing in Taylor, a fighter whose grit and durability are almost unmatched. Here's another way they're saying, even as durable as Taylor is, she's almost 40. So I would say there's a ton of value in Taylor being knocked down at plus 350. And if you were on the Taylor side, and this was as of this morning, so these numbers might have changed, John. Moneyline's plus 140. But if you're feeling lucky, take Taylor to get knocked down and still win at plus 2,000.
Okay.
And he's saying that's not out of the realm of possibility. But there's a bunch of ways to play this, and there'll be a ton of interest.
Yeah.
Both on the books, I imagine, and obviously watching in Madison Square Garden. It's essentially Puerto Rico versus Ireland. That's where the two fighters, Serrano's American, but her background, you know, she's got Puerto Rican roots. And so you'll have both flags on display. That's what they said about the last fight. Half of the building was Puerto Rican fans. Half of it was Irish fans. And that's what it'll likely be tonight. It'll be quite the spectacle on Netflix. Even if you're not into, you know, women's boxing necessarily, you'll see how big this is the moment you turn it on. Mm-hmm. And the man behind the madness we've talked about is Jake Paul, who is a promoting giant right now and is here in this boxing game, not just himself and the fights that he's getting and the money that that's bringing in, but what he's now doing for women's boxing. He's raised it to a point it's never been at. It's pretty darn impressive. Both of these women, win or lose, are going to walk away with $9 million+. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, it's a new frontier.
It really is.
You know? I mean, it used to be, you know, HBO would be the only way that everybody would have, you know, people would be like, I ain't paying for that.
Well, and weirdly, there aren't a ton of big draws in men's in boxing.
Right.
And so that's why Jake Paul's been able to come in here and kind of capitalize on this, whatever
one.
You want to call it, a circus, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like the one that it's drawn eyes in, because there are no Mayweathers that we're tuning in for. Yeah. There are no heavyweight American champs that we're tuning in for. And so he's, whether yep. it's him or, you know, his promotions and these
right.
women, he's kind of found this niche and
right.
brought boxing back in a way that I kind of thought was dead. We
yeah.
were beyond.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
UFC had to own. And
yep.
now maybe their boxing is getting a little bit of it back, and they're doing it with women.
Well, there was a time, you know, where when I was like a teenager, early teenager, you know, 10, 11, 12, 13 years old, you know, Fight Night would come out you know, on EA Sports, you know, and like I feel like that helped boxing maintain some relevancy, right? Like just with the younger generation.
Sure did.
Because you got to know the fighters, you got to know like Roy Jones Jr., you got to know, you know, I always loved Sugar Ray Leonard. Like playing like Sugar Ray, I just loved how, you know, smooth he was, you know, how quick he was on his feet. You know, and I really do believe once that game stopped being produced, it hurt. It hurt the sport because young people didn't connect with it. You know, and now, like you said, like there's just even Floyd Mayweather, it took him fighting Conor McGregor for it to cross over into non-boxing world, right? And it was huge, and Floyd made a ton of money, and you know, it was good for everybody. But that's this whole Jake Paul is just theater, bro. It's just you know, he's just trying to, you know, he's not fighting like Canelo Alvarez. He's not fighting, you know, real boxers. He's fighting guys off the scrap heap, but people are watching it. You know, this is definitely a real fight tonight. This is not the Jake Paul ilk of, hey, I'm going to promote this fight.
No,
I'm going to say
found
some crazy
two real
stuff.
Women fighters, yes, yeah. Who put on a show when they're up against each other. You're right. This is real.
Yes.
In terms of what the blood and
I mean,
and sweat,
like
tears
Jake Paul fought Mike Tyson. Like, that was a joke.
Who's the one he just, or was that his
brother? The drug dealer that got deported. Cesar Chavez
Jr.,
I think. Yeah.
Junior, though.
Yeah.
And he, wasn't he up there in age, too?
Yeah, I mean, he was in like rehab a year ago. I mean, you know, it's just, come on. You know, but
it's the promoting of it,
it
that
is.
He does
it
that's
is.
Brought the eyeballs
yeah,
that
no,
bring
I
the
mean,
money, and you can't knock him for that.
And I don't hate on him.
He's like a Don King that's actually in
he
the
is.
Ring fighting. He's
he
come
is.
Back.
That's
and
exactly
you
good
can't
call.
You can't do anything but give him his props because we're watching the damn thing.
Yep, and he wants everybody to get paid.
That's the other reason I think I'm behind him. And like at first I was looking at this like, who's going to keep watching this mess? It's only benefiting him. That's why he's never going to lose. But if he's getting everybody else paid, including women, man, this is a good thing.
Right.
This dude's doing a good. If he's putting everybody on, can't hate on it at all. In
Absolutely.
Fact, you can only give him the respect.
No, it's true. I do appreciate that. I do appreciate that about him. You know, and because I think when he came in, you know, he didn't have the clout. And then as soon as he got it, he did use it to put on other people.
Yeah. And I was one of the ones I said he's just putting on for himself. And this guy's got no business. Oh, the real sport of boxing. This is fake. You know, and a lot of us were like that. You know, we're holding boxing to some standard that, let's be real, it's not even that anymore.
Right.
And so, you know, I've had to come around, man, and completely on this guy.
Yeah.
And the fact that, again, it's not just for himself. He is putting folks on. And that's a great thing. And you have women's boxing in a place that it's at a height it's never been at before.
Right.
That's impressive to me.
Yeah.
And that's again, as you just said, good call by... That's with real women fighters. That's not a joke that they're throwing out there and fooling you with.
Yep.
It's different from what the fighting he's doing. So, can't do anything but respect.
Yeah. All right, let's recap some of the big contracts that got agreed to by some of the big NBA players around the league. Herb Jones, 3 years, $68 million today. I don't know if people expected him to make that much money. But he is. You know, he's always been one of those guys that the Grizzlies, you know, people targeted for the Memphis Grizzlies. But, like, I mean, maybe people would be comfortable paying Herb Jones $20-plus million dollars a year. But, like, I don't know, bro. I mean, he's good. He's a good player. He's a very, very good player. And some of the numbers are he's one of eight NBA players with 350 steals and 150 blocks since he came into the NBA. He's top 10 in defense against ISOs over the past 2 years among players to defend at least 150 ISOs. He shot a career best 42% on three-pointers 2 years ago. Only played 20 games last year, which were fewest in his career, but usually is a very dependable guy. But, yes, this is your guy, Priority Sports, bro. I don't know if it's Andy Schiffman specifically, but it is Priority Sports.
Bartlestein, that's at the top of that thing.
That's him.
I can't remember.
That's
I think that's
Bartlestein. Yep. Yeah,
they
so,
got a lot of folks.
I mean, would you have been comfortable paying $22 million, $23 million a year? I know it's not your money. So I guess that's just the going rate.
I think so.
That's PJ Washington, Herb Jones, those. I mean, and Herb Jones at least he brings that defense. Those are great defensive numbers. So
he's an elite defender in this league.
Yeah.
Those guys have earned it.
Yeah. So, that gets done for the Pelicans, who I guess are
I just, what our question.
Exactly.
Herb's earning the money.
Exactly.
Don't know exactly what he's fitting into.
Chet Holmgren, as we know, signed a $250 million 5-year maximum rookie contract extension. So again, champ, they're going to keep that thing together. And then yesterday, Jalen Williams got taken care of with his rookie max extension by the Thunder. That is a 5-year deal that could reach $287 million. So between Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Chet Holmgren, and Jalen Williams, they got about $700 billion tied up plus.
So it's the new Golden State. It's the new perfect storm in terms of having a powerhouse. You're not supposed to be able to play three guys anymore, remember? That's what this new that's where we're supposed to be. They're getting it done. SGA's doesn't kick in for 2 years.
Right.
So these are staggered. Jalen and Chet start next year. That's how they're able. I was listening to Bobby Marks on how they're able to do this. Like you said, plenty of folks have been dancing on trying to dance. Oh, this marks the start of the end because they're not going to be able to keep everybody together. Uh-uh. The way they've got these things staggered now, Presti's a genius. Plus, he's got all of his picks, too.
Yep.
All of his first-round picks. They got more than everybody else. I mean, they're, dude. And again, this money doesn't kick in on SGA for 2 years.
Yep.
And Jalen and Chet aren't until next year. And so they can keep all that young talent, all those good contracts around this. This is not breaking up anytime soon. And as Zane said, they're only going to get better because they're so damn young.
Exactly.
Second youngest team ever to win it.
Exactly, so right.
They're locked up. Nobody else is going to be able to do this where you can pay three guys and have all of this, you know, these good contracts around them. And they're proven already. It's just, oh boy. I mean, the league is going to have to deal with this team for the next, you know, 5 to 10 years.
Right.
They're not going anywhere.
Yeah, they're not.
Injury is the only thing that can derail it.
It is. It is. Because they get along. They're all in this, they're all in contract now. You know, that's the thing. It's like there's not going to be this Jordan Pippen situation.
They can move on from Hardenstein, they're saying, get off his money
Which
eventually.
They will. And that's who they drafted. That's why they drafted Sorber.
Mm-hmm.
Because they hope that in 2 years he'll be ready to step in.
Yep, and if he's not, they got more picks to go
That's
find
right.
the next
That's
one.
That's right. And they're not afraid to play young guys. I mean, Holmgren's 23. You know?
So many young guys. Playing Kaysen last year as a rookie.
Right, exactly. So, pretty sick.
It is.
It's pretty sick. They just have managed well. They have managed exceptionally well. And this is what it can look like when you do that.
Yeah,
I mean,
when you hit on as much as he has.
You know, their tank lasted 1 year. I mean, they executed the perfect tank. They got the they lost 50 games or 60. It was 60 games. I don't remember exactly what they did with the picks, but they somehow acquired. I guess that would have been the Chet, right? That's what they did. They got Chet after that year. So you get Chet, then you already traded for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. You find Jalen Williams 12th overall. You get Hartenstein on a good deal. He wants to come over and be a part of that. All right, well, then you draft Kaysen, and then you get – was Lou Dort undrafted?
I'm not sure on Lou.
I feel like he was undrafted. But
he was, wow.
He was undrafted. You find Lou Dort, bro, and he's an all-defensive first-teamer, undrafted. Mm-hmm. Like, that is the difference.
Right.
I mean, that's as good as anybody's doing it, right? I mean, that's really – I mean, so – you can't be that.
No. Nope.
You got to try to be like a grade or two worse than that. But, yeah, OKC has done it, you know, as well as anybody can do it and has done it in the NBA in recent years. And they're going to get to reap the benefits as a result.
I got one more. Every year when I read these stories, I feel better about myself for not being a guy who's into fireworks. I do, you know, when July 4th rolls around and my son sees all these dads that are going out there and they're buying up fireworks for their kids. He looks at me and he says, "Man, Dad, you ain't any fun. You're so lame." My buddies, my Big Tap and them, they're, you know, he tell everybody else and what they're doing, I hear about. Plus, he's got an uncle who loves buying fireworks and loves to shoot them off. So Dad looks
That doesn't help.
Dad looks bad every July. He looks like a real wimp. And then I read these stories, the latest about Najee Harris and how he sustained an eye injury, the former Pittsburgh Steelers running back, who is now, and I'm having to get used to it, he's a Charger now?
Yes.
Yes, he is a Charger now. He's with Harbaugh. I'm having to get used to that part. But Najee Harris, yes, the longtime Pittsburgh Steelers running back, injured his eye, sustained an eye injury, and the people that he were with, one of the men that he was with, lost fingers in an accident in California recently, where this 4th of July accident burnt up everybody. And so my point is, when I read this, I go back to, you know what, I'm just fine being the wimp on July 4th and letting everybody else do it. And I hope my son ends up being that. Let everybody else fire the things up, man, and you just watch. It's just a safer existence, and if that makes us a wimp, so be it. We'll have 10 fingers. We won't be Jason Pierre-Paul, or in this case, Najee Harris. Now, Najee Harris is lucky in this case. Apparently, it's an eye injury. It's not going to keep him out of – nothing's too serious, according to Adam Schefter. Superficial is the way they put it. He'll be ready for the upcoming season. But remember, Jason Pierre-Paul melted off his whole hand, and someone that was with Najee that night did the same thing. These right. things are what's crazy is, dude, it's almost like the stuff that IU felt like you had to go down to the river to see, like the quality of fireworks, right? Stuff that it felt like only professionals could deal with was on a whole nother level than what was even legal for you. Bro, now I'm driving down the street. I'm driving down Walnut Grove, and it feels like everybody's got that level of fireworks in their backyards. Mm. And they're coming out of these big boxes and everything else. So I'm looking around because, again, I'm not the guy who was ever buying them. But I'm looking around, and it is. There's a whole – these streets are full of smoke. Folks are having their own shows. You don't need to go downtown or to the Bartlett Fireworks Center show anymore because they're doing it in the neighborhoods. And I just think that – okay, there's a danger still right. involved with that, that at one point in my life I thought was only reserved for professionals. That's the thing about it. It's just my point. You got to be careful. What was my man Terry back up
yeah.
there?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. We joke about it all the time, especially here in Memphis. You know, y'all about burnt Terry up that day. Y'all laughing.
Yep.
But sometimes I think we take this stuff too lightly. This stuff, I did a story on in my intern year at the Commercial Appeal as a Metro intern. Remember going out to those apartments in Raleigh, a kid had one, a bottle rocket shot right into his eye. I'll just never forget about it because his life has changed forever. Yeah, they were worried about sight in his eye for the rest of his life.
Yep.
Wrote that story up, and you read those, and you think, man, these probably happen all over the city. But just, again, the danger of it, I read this. And again, luckily for Najee Harris, he's cool, but his buddy isn't. Burn off fingers and everything else. Y'all be careful on July 4th. Old Smooth will be watching. He'll be watching with his Coke in his hand, watching y'all shoot
well,
them things
yeah,
off.
I mean, I think it's a PSA you're giving, because fireworks are not – I say this as someone that's born on July the 4th. They're the most overrated thing that maybe exists in the world.
That's one way to put it. I mean, they are fun to look at, but the danger, to your point, I think I'm with you, makes them overrated.
If you have seen one firework, you have literally seen them all.
Now, that is a fact.
Like, other than that, there's that one video from 2012 in San Diego where all of the fireworks that were supposed to go off over 18 minutes all went off at the same time on accident. Now, that was exciting. It was over in 45 seconds. I think it was the perfect fireworks show. But, this whole, dragged out, like, oh, it's going to be this 30-minute celebration of peanut, like...
They're so popular, too, that the warehouses are now exploding. I saw probably 5 stories, and one of them was a warehouse here in Memphis that exploded because any ignition or fire lit will lights the whole warehouse on fire. I saw that story a lot, and I think when we were kids growing up on a farm, you do hillbilly crap and you do bottle rocket fights. Yep. I'm not proud of that, but I think it was okay because the level, to Jason's point, they weren't commercial grade fireworks. They were like piddly little ass fireworks. If they'd hit you, it wasn't going to blow your arm off.
Exactly.
Like, I think the quality. There's a guy in Germantown over on Forest Hill. You drive by his house. The shrapnel, he had so much shrapnel from shooting off fireworks. It took one trash thing to haul off the shrapnel because he had so many boxes of those commercial grade thousands of dollars.
And I'm like, over city.
And then the dogs are going crazy, but that's a whole nother story.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think like that's the thing, right? If you're trying to do fireworks, like if you decide I'm gonna do fireworks,
yeah,
you're not gonna do the little piddly ass little
no
sparklers and Roman
bottle
candles.
Rockets.
You know, you're gonna get the big things,
big booms.
You know,
yes, you're gonna get into it,
and then outdo your neighbor,
right?
Yes,
you know, that was
look at this.
One.
I don't get into that. You know what I'm saying? Like my kids do not ask to see. Like Riley has never asked to see fireworks. Like it's just not something that we. And again, I'm born on July the 4th, so I am supposed to be all about the firecrackers. You know, but I tell people I am the firecracker. I don't need to see them.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well done, John.
You are the firecracker.
I enjoy seeing the professionals shoot them off. But even they have problems. In Alabama, there was a barge. It happened in New Jersey. When I lived in New Jersey, a barge, like, damn, sank because they lit the thing.
He said, John said something just really resonated with me, though, is key. Once you've seen one, you've seen them all. Really, I don't need to see any more, but it's seeing my kids see them.
Yeah.
Right? Like we get to a point in our age where that becomes important. How is he reacting to them? Oh, do you see that little Chris? So it was important to take him to that first fireworks show. I think that was back when Bellevue was doing them, Bellevue Baptist.
Oh, yeah,
they
used to do it big.
Yeah, they used to do it big. Mm-hmm. They don't do
I've been
that
to
anymore.
Those. Collierville does it. German, the cities now do them.
But it's more, you see the fireworks, yeah. Little kitty, because I've seen them all over the years. But, John, once they've seen that, retire.
Why are the drone things not taking off? Like, I thought that you see these formations and these programmed formations. Those are pretty cool. I wonder when that'll take over.
Drones?
Yeah, they do the drone shows now. There's engineering programs at these universities, and they had them on America's Got Talent, and we're talking about there's like 1,000 drones, Jason, and they line up with lights on them. And they can do formations, and they put music to them and stuff like that, almost like fireworks.
A drone show.
It's a drone show.
Safer. Because there are no
explosions. Programmed. It's all programmed, and you're not talking about...
I'd be fine with that.
Yeah, that's kind of a cool idea.
Well, drones is definitely,
drone show, the
way of the future.
Yeah, I heard
it. Whether it's fireworks or warfare. I mean,
government.
The drones are that's how... If we ever enter into a full-scale war again, let's hope that we don't. It will mostly be fought not by men, but by drones.
That's facts.
Which is very scary. But again, I don't want to... We got Summer League to talk about.
I think I saw the same thing on the internet you saw.
Yeah, it's everywhere, man. It's kind of crazy, man, these drones. Everybody has one. You ain't got one yet?
Just not out of the box.
You gonna pull it out?
No need.
When it's time, you'll know.
Yep. Exactly.
when it's time.
Flying over the neighborhood.
That's
Cordova.
Right. That's right. But yeah, man, I think it's a PSA that, don't trifle with the fireworks, man. Like you're going to lose a hand.
It seems like we haven't calmed down on it, though. It never calms down to
Jason's
point.
No, it's
only going to grow.
Yeah.
More hands will be burned.
That's
exactly. All we can do is continue to warn people.
That's right.
Every
damn
year.
Save a few.
Because, there's no professional, bro. Like, there's no fireworks professional.
No.
Anymore.
Like, you all do the same thing. You light the damn fuse.
We all think we can do it. We all think we're professional.
Yeah. And then the issue is people start drinking them Bud Lights.
Yeah.
They don't get away fast enough.
Yeah, they're like.
Don't get it out of their hand fast enough.
Yeah.
I can do this from my hand.
Yeah.
No.
Hand gone.
Well, when I was growing up, not to, I know we have other things that we need to get to today on a busy sports day, but one of the things that my friends would do is they would get the Roman candles and they would shoot each other.
You'd point at each other. But they weren't commercial grade, though. They were little fuzz balls.
But I still would rather not get hit with it. You know what I mean?
Heard
like,
that.
If his I can point, though, that it doesn't compare to melting your hand.
No.
They get blowtorches now.
Yeah, it was, it'd leave a mark.
Yeah,
right?
Crazy.
And at worst, you'd have to tell your mom, maybe make a little trip.
What were you doing?
Those were, compared to now, this is another level.
Now, you should look up.
Folks are being maimed.
You should look up that San Diego fireworks show, though.
I'd never seen that. I'm going to do that.
It looks like a nuke went off.
It's crazy.
No, literally, the sky darkens up. Like it's crazy, and it's super loud. But that's that's a fireworks show. That's a fireworks show.
All at once.
I think I'm being bombed.
Yeah, stealth bomber coming through.
I have no idea if this is, how it's supposed to be. And then it's over after 45 seconds, and then we can move on.
That stuff's expensive, though. Like, you go out to Lakeland to, boom, those places.
Yes.
Like, one box is, $50.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, it's literally lighting your money on fire. That's
literally.
That's what you're doing when you buy the fireworks. Yeah. But, some people enjoy it. Some people do have the tradition, Hey, we're going to, I have friends who every single year they go to somebody's house.
Yeah.
And they have a big fireworks spectacle. It's like a thing,
There's always the excited guy who does it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, I got a big one playing this year. He's going to be the biggest one yet.
I got the truck loaded.
Yeah. And then it's just the same thing. It's like the fireworks, They just go pew, 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 pew. They make some noise from the screamers, Then it's over. All right. We'll come back. Lots more to come here on the show. Parth Upadhyay is going to join us at 125. Stick around. Jason and John, how are you trying to...
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall. Did he catch it?
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
FMESPN. Live Love Group at the Real Estate Agency will be your best friend because they're going to help you make the most money for your home. They're going to help you say, hey, let's set some goals, but let's also stay within the realm of possibility and reality with this price because we want to sell the home ultimately. So they're going to help you refine that, come up with the best price for your home so that it doesn't sit. They're going to help you adjust. Hey, what do we need to do? What do we need to invest in? They are the best, but you got to reach out to have that conversation. So to livelovememphis.com.
901-625-5200 is the number to call. And as my man has said, Jennifer's going to price that thing right from the get-go. So you won't have to worry about long stays on the market, having to drop that price, decrease the price, or take it off the market. Nah, she's going to get you the top dollar because she knows how to price it. And she can help you on that buying side as well. That's what she did for me back in 2018. It was a clean sweep. Had great, great experience on both sides, the buying and the selling. And it can go that well for you. You just need to make the call. 901-625-5200. Let them show you how good they are. It's the Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the Real Estate Agency.
All right. So I know we don't typically do this, but I am going to do it because it is a rematch of the greatest tennis match I have ever witnessed. Remember, we talked about the French Open, Roland Garros, Alcaraz Center, and I mean, the longest match ever, I believe, in French Open history. We're getting a rematch. We're getting a rematch for it all in Wimbledon as Jannik Sinner defeats Novak Djokovic in straight sets, brother. 6-3, 6-3, 6-4. See you later. Thank you for coming, Joker. Your time is up. And so now it will be Sinner versus Alcaraz, this time on grass. So a little different than the clay. They say Alcaraz is unbeatable on the clay.
Okay.
So we're going to grass now, though, Jason. So we'll see if he has a – I mean, remember, he was up two sets in that one. That was what made it so dramatic. He was up two sets on Alcaraz in the French Open final, and he blew it. He choked it away. And then it ended up going to a tiebreak there even in the fifth set to win it all. I mean, it was, it was unbelievable. But yes, it's going to be Sinner versus Alcaraz for the Wimbledon final. I believe that would be on Sunday morning. So, I mean, that's just as good as it gets, right? In July,
A
Sunday rematch. You know, I'll pay attention to it. I'll watch it. I guess I couldn't get you on board quite there with the rematch of the greatest tennis match ever.
No, I used to do it. I would seem like it would come on NBC. And then maybe it was Sampras. Did he make any Wimbledon finals? I just felt like it was in that era where maybe I'd be up on a Sunday morning and catch that because you'd have an American in it.
Right.
Those days ended.
Yeah. We did have Fritz in the semis today against Alcaraz.
I saw he went down in four sets.
He did take a set, though.
Wasn't Spike at that last matchup, too? Like, I know this is big. I don't want to say Spike Lee took a flight out there. And he was there front row. Like, I get that this is a big deal, so I don't want to. I don't want to take away from
I think a lot of people sympathize and feel exactly where you come from. When there's no American involved, we don't have – like if Coco Gauff's in the final, we're going to watch. Yeah. If we ever have one again in men, we will watch.
She was awesome in the French, but terrible in this.
Yeah,
she went out early.
She went up very early. I think her first, second match. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened, brother. You know, it's different services.
That's when I tuned out.
Yeah.
Yep. You're right.
My Belarusian, mistress, Sabalenka, she went out in the semis as well. To an American. I think we have an American in the final in the women, right?
Oh, do we?
I think so.
Somebody other than golf. Yeah. Well, good. That's more reason for me to watch. Now, when is that? Saturday morning?
That's tomorrow.
Usually, yes. Yeah. Yes, Saturday, Sunday. Okay.
Anna Samova.
American. Okay. I will be aware. I'm not going to say I'm not committing to locking in for the whole thing.
She's a big underdog, obviously.
Okay.
Iga Swiatek is her opponent. So that's the women. So we do have a little bit of we do have some American representation in the Wimbledon finals, but not in the men. If you want to take the Matrix red pill, Jason, which by the way, I watched Matrix for the first time on the flight home from DC. I never watched it until I was coming back home from DC.
I don't even remember what the first one's like anymore. They all just run together.
Who was my guy? Morpheus?
Yes. Lawrence Fishburne.
Lawrence Fishburne, yes.
Mm-hmm.
The Matrix, I got to say, it holds up very well for being a 26-year-old movie. Yes.
I don't think I realize it's been 26 years.
Because it came out in 99, right?
Yeah. Saw Keanu recently. I guess I should have known.
Yeah.
Saw him with the F1 stuff he's doing, the documentary.
Yeah.
He looks old.
He does look old. He does.
And so I guess, it's been that long for Neo.
In 26.
Wow.
Yeah.
I remember him on Bill and Ted's when he was even younger acting a fool.
Yep. You know, Will Smith was offered that role.
Stop it.
Yeah, he turned it down. If Will Smith turns your role down, there's a good chance it's going to go on to be a great film. He turned out another high-profile one, too. It was The Matrix.
I thought you were saying Will Smith turned down
No, he was going to be Neo.
Wow.
Yeah, he turned down Neo. He also turned down the lead role in Inception. Christopher Nolan.
Which I've still never seen.
And that's a little confusing of a movie.
Isn't that the one where all the stuff's falling in the buildings?
Yeah, and the time. And, can't understand it. No, I agree with you.
Is that a fact?
Yeah.
He turned down the whole Matrix series?
Yeah, I think he just actually.
So you'd have had him and Morpheus blacked up?
He was offered the role of Neo. I don't think that, no, it would have been a white Morpheus.
Yep. That's because of the race thing. They couldn't have had two black guys.
Right. That, not during that time.
Correct.
They needed to have, it was still the, basically like this show, right? The white guy, the black guy.
We had, the Black Panther needed to come out first.
That's right. And we weren't ready for that as a society.
And Clay's still struggling with it.
But don't forget Blade, man. Will Smith was offered the role of Neo in The Matrix, but turned it down to do Wild Wild West.
Damn!
Yeah. He says he initially did not understand the Wachowskis' vision for The Matrix.
Longer-term vision. You would have been paid more long-term with The Matrix and everything that it made. What are we talking about for Wild Wild West? Who was his running mate in that? It was terrible.
Was it Martin Lawrence?
No. It was this white dude that played the other, his running, you know, his buddy. I can't think
Kevin Kline?
Yeah, that was it.
He was Ulysses. Artemis Gordon. Was that his guy?
And then the bad guy was Branagh.
Dr. Lovelace, yes.
You talk about terrible. The best thing about that movie, maybe, was it my girl Selma Hayek? Was she in that?
Let's see.
Am I making that up?
No, she was, yeah.
Best thing about it.
Yeah, Kevin Kline was his running mate.
Fish Called Wanda, a fame.
So who would Morpheus have been if...
Dude, what a mistake it was, because that movie was terrible. It bombed.
Yeah.
Box office flop.
Yeah. Obviously, you would have had to go. I think they were talking about, like, Val Kilmer would have been Morpheus. That was the plan. Val Kilmer was going to be Morpheus, and then Will Smith was going to be Neo. That was the initial plan. When Will Smith said no, they obviously had to... improvised.
And it became actually an opportunity for Lawrence Fishburne at that
Lawrence
point.
Lawrence Fishburne
amazing.
Was
when,
the... I guess
so
they both were
happy Will Smith turns it down
totally.
Because he benefits from that.
Absolutely.
That is amazing. I never knew that story.
And I think Lawrence Fishburne was great in that role.
He was unbelievable.
He was really the star of the movie.
Friends is one of the things we remember him most for. I mean, I go back...
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall! Did he catch it?
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.